This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're indeed fortunate to have on the program today two distinguished American leaders. First, Mr. Edward Hunter, psychological warfare expert, the man who coined the term brainwashing. Mr. Hunter has been a consultant to the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee and to the House Committee on Un-American Activities on the subject of communist strategy and techniques. And also on today's program, Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina, and a leading exponent of the theory that America must win the Cold War. Very happy to have both of you gentlemen with us today, and I'd like to start the questioning with Mr. Hunter, if I might. Mr. Hunter, in testimony which you gave last December to the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, you outlined what had taken place at a recent meeting of the communist parties of the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
That was a conference, rather a convention, of 81 communist parties of the world, including our treasonable own. They met in Moscow, and they decided a strategy for this phase of the world conflict, particularly against the United States. And significantly, they decided that the main obstacle in the United States to the communist conquest of the United States was the grassroots anti-communist movement in the United States. And they defined techniques to liquidate this movement.
Did they have to say anything about the education of our military personnel, Mr. Hunter?
In this document, specifically, no. But in the implementation document that was published by Gus Hall, head of the United States Communist Party, he specifically referred to the 1958 directive of our National Security Council, which is the basis for the whole alertness and preparedness program against communism in our country.
Now, Senator Thurmond, do you believe that this December meeting of the communist parties had any direct connection with the drive on muzzling of the military?
Well, I've never said that the orders for muzzling the military came from Moscow. But I have said this. I've quoted Mr. Gus Hall, who's the head of the Communist Party in the United States, in the statement that he made shortly after he returned from Moscow. In the spring of 1961, he said that the primary target is the military and its anti-communist statements and seminars, showing the value they placed on the military and that the military was their target, and therefore they were going to have to take steps to try to curb the military in what the military was doing in conducting these Cold War seminars and also in other phases awake throughout the military. If they could control their troop training information, the information and education programs, and keep the military people from informing the civilian population about the dangers of the enemy, the insidious manner in which communism operates, and those things, and the military people ought to know more about the enemy than any other segment of our population. And that was Mr. Hall's purpose at that time, Dick.
Mr. Hunter, as an expert in psychological warfare, why do you believe the communists objected so strenuously to the exhibition of the film Operation Abolition and the film strip Communism on the Map?
Both those films were graphic picturalizations of communism in action in our country. They woke up people. People didn't believe such things could happen in the United States. So the communist mechanism had to get into operation to try to discredit both films if they could not suppress them. They succeeded partially in suppressing them, and the rest of the campaign is to discredit them.
In other words, it's simply a matter that the two films in question were doing a good job, and naturally the communists didn't want anything to do a good job to fight communism.
Of course. Of course, because communism operates, and I wish we operated that way, thinking of the benefit at all times of communism.
Now, you are the first man, Mr. Hunter, who revealed the significance of a document which was circulated quite extensively on Capitol Hill some months back, the so-called Fulbright Memorandum. And in your description of this memorandum, you said that it outlined a system of government by the elite for this country. Could you give us a little bit more detail on that?
Yes, I could, and I believe this is not irrelevant to the hearings taking place on the gagging of military officers. I believe actually those hearings are subordinate to this entire situation. What is taking place actually is a kidnapping of government. A group of persons, many calling themselves liberals, a perversion of that word, have evolved a new ideology here in Washington. A simple ideology that is very intriguing to certain minds, that in this complex nuclear age, people no longer are in a position to make up their minds as voters on the problems of the day, that you require a sophisticated, how they love that word, sophisticated, a sophisticated group who can do the thinking for the public. And they are liberal. Liberal rather than Nazi or communist, which this ideology actually is, because they don't believe, like Hitler, in throwing people into ovens. They don't believe, like Stalin, in shooting you in the nape of the neck. As mentioned in the Fulbright secret memorandum, they believe in re-education, which is the Pavlovian re-education.
In other words, brainwashing might be a better
brainwashing.
Word.
Brainwashing. And an example was given in that memorandum of how that should operate.
Well, Senator Thurmond, do you believe that the testimony by Mr. Hunter to the Internal Security Subcommittee and subsequent information which has been brought to light has helped to wake up the American public?
Dick, I certainly do. I have a copy of the testimony by Mr. Hunter here before the Internal Security Subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee of the United States Senate. Senator Eastland of Mississippi is chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And Mr. Hunter was consultant to the subcommittee. And he testified there. The title of this testimony is The New Drive Against the Anti-Communist Program. And Mr. Hunter made a very fine witness, and he analyzed this entire program and the fight that's being made against the anti-communist program. Now, a number of people in this country have been working in this anti-communist program. As Mr. Hunter said, this drive grew chiefly out of the National Security Council directive of 1958. And Mr. Hunter, in this testimony, explains how the fight is being carried on to stop this anti-communist program. And I would recommend that every American get this and read it. He can get it from the government printing office, I believe, for about 25 cents, and it's well worth it. And while I'm talking, I want to congratulate you, Mr. Hunter, on this testimony, because we use this testimony effectively in helping to get our investigation on muzzling the military. I'm not too sure that we would have gotten that investigation if your testimony had not been available to us and assisted us in that matter. I want to commend you, too, on this book, Brainwashing. I think it's a very excellent book, and I would certainly recommend that everyone read this book if you haven't done so. The techniques of brainwashing are brought out in this book, and they're very valuable.
Well, Mr. Hunter, I'd like to bring up this point. Perhaps there's been a little bit too much oversimplification in the American press, so that people think that when we mention on a program such as this that the communist program has been implemented in certain phases in this country, we are saying that those who do that are communists. Now, of course, this is not the case. And you and others who are experts in the field use the term anti-anti-communist. How about giving us a description of this term?
An anti-anti-communist is he or she who opposes opposition to communism. Actually, I know of nobody who has ever been converted by a communist. I know of no one who's ever been converted by the communist newspaper organ, The Worker. They have to have a non-communist front at all times to do their dirty work. And for that reason, I consider the anti-communist front more dangerous, actually, to our country than the communists themselves.
In other words, it's not so much a matter of someone being a card-carrying party member, if there be such these days. It's a question, rather, of prominent individuals rising to oppose movements which themselves are opposed to communism.
This is what I tried to disclose, that the person who is literally liberal and often literally conservative falls into booby traps that the communists set and does the work for the communists while he hates communism himself. That is the tragedy and the problem of today. And may I just make one comment? I believe this is the most important problem, this kidnapping of government and this entire issue since the Civil War. And I feel that Senator Thurmond, in sowing himself as he has into this, is doing the most patriotic job that is possible to do in 1962.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to have to break in at this point, but our time has gone by all too quickly today. Our guests on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum have been Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina, and Mr. Edward Hunter, psychological warfare expert and expert on communism and its techniques and methods. Join us again next week at this same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.